Welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB, keeping levy payers informed and at the heart of the conversation.
Hello, I'm Daisy Green, Knowledge Exchange Manager for AHDB Dairy, and welcome to this episode in which we'll be finding out more about high health units. We're currently running a campaign on calf pneumonia throughout November, with the aim to help you learn how to prevent the disease, reduce costs, and lessen the impact on your calves. It's why I recently went along to Butelaar's Long Lane Development Farm in Somerset to see how they ensure their calves are kept in the best of health, which is no mean feat given they rear around 6,000 of them a year. Alan King, Chair of Research and Development at Butelaar, was on hand to show me around, and he began by telling me how their work began with the existing farm buildings and how they've been modified by the previous owner.
There was one specific building here on the farm, which was the old feed passage, which Tim had converted into a calf building by ripping out the bunkers, etc. And he developed it, and it forms into a building that is quite long, but it's only 5 meters deep. And he split it into pens of 3 meters wide. So he had 5 by 3, and what we were putting in there was 5 to 6 calves at a time, and it just worked. The calves have always been pretty healthy in there, and so we based the fundamental thinking on that at the outset.
What was a feed bunker and now is calf pens.
That's right.
You've got a gap along the back for airflow, but it's sort of Yorkshire boarding. And
that's right.
How has that changed? Because obviously we're focusing on pneumonia within the campaign that we're running this month and tackling calf pneumonia. So ventilation is a big priority, and having good airflow and not overstocking sheds. So how has that changed?
The existing building, as I say, was just a conversion. So the wall at the back is 1.5 meters high. It's concrete. It's concrete panels at the moment with space boarding above it, again, 1.5 meters. But as we've evolved, we've developed it, as I said, on the same dimensions, but we've changed the back. You don't need that amount of airspace above. And we wanted to lower the roof to get a better environment for the calves. Too many calf houses have got so much volume that they don't need it. The calf is looking for a draft-free, warm, dry environment, but with plenty of fresh air. So we developed the roof, and we've reduced the actual air gap at the back, and it's down now to where it seems to be working incredibly well. So we've got 1.5 meters wall high with a 300 gap at the back. But the innovation that we think is making it really work, which actually is something from Jamie Robertson, is an overhang on the back of 0.5 meter, so that you actually stop the rain coming in because of the angle of the roof, but you've got a 300 mil gap, and that is creating the air running across the roof, which is making the airspace fresh and draft free.
Amazing. But it's not sort of a regular shed roof, is it? Because it's not pitched. It's that sort of
We've gone for a monopitch roof, and it's 10 degrees.
Basically. Did you have to change that a lot?
We played a bit with it, but largely, no. We've gone from 15 down to 10, and that's it. I mean, a typical farm building is 15 degree pitch, but we've come down to 10, and it's working well.
Well, should we go and have a look at the HHU then?
Yeah, sure.
So we've now come to the HHU. This is a setup that are these pods that you can... They're quite portable, aren't they, really, Alan? This is what you've designed so that for people who are not sort of full-time calf rearers, you've got a more semi-permanent version of these pods, but you've got a more transferable on-farm setup that they can be built up, built down, and this is the finished product. How did you get to this?
Right, yeah, we've actually been at this for probably 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Initially started with Tim in the early days and myself. It's evolved over the period because things have changed. We wanted to develop a building that would be easily built potentially by farmers, wouldn't need planning permission. And that's a debatable question, but they're not permanent buildings. You can move them. We've moved them several times, or one bank of them we've moved four times now. That actually works for dairy farmers specifically because of the TB, where farms get locked up. They haven't got the space to look after calves well. And so the idea was to make a building that was that could be, as I say, built by farmers and works on a dairy farm. So we worked on the same basis of five calves to a pen, because that's enough for one person to manage effectively, we believe. It has evolved over a period. We started with quite a strong steel structure, plastic walls, but they didn't go too well because we found the plastic was expanding in the summer in the heat, and it was blowing the tech screws off and the walls collapsed.
Oh gosh.
So we overcame that by putting slotted steel, and that they worked quite well. But the issue for us was they were very, very heavy. They were long on steel, so they were quite expensive and very difficult to transport. So you couldn't, if you fabricated them, that the frames were difficult to transport. So we settled down and we sat with a fabricator to discuss it, and we went and researched the market, and we looked at what pig and poultry buildings look like.
Yep.
And typically they have lower eaves, and they're made of very different materials, and typically they're insulated.
Right, because I was going to say, this doesn't look like concrete walls along the back of these calf pens. What is this then?
No, this is a different product. It's used quite extensively in the pig world. It's a product called Paneltim, and what it is, it's recycled plastic, but it's built in a honeycomb format. So it's got a honeycomb in between, so you've got quite very good thermal properties, nearly three times thermally efficient as concrete. But it's also, and the good part about it is structurally quite strong.
Right.
So what the engineer did is he worked, well, between us, we worked out that actually you didn't need as much of a steel structure as we had previously, because we could use the strength within the plastic walls. And we've devised a method of clamping them together, and it's formed up to make a really quite substantial building. The one we're looking at the moment, it is actually now 4.5 years old.
Wow.
And has been constantly in use. And I think you can see that actually it stood the test of time pretty
well. Absolutely, very little wear. And I suppose as well, quite easy to keep clean, isn't it? You know, you can disinfect all these panels quite easily, keep on top of...
Yeah,
and...
absolutely. The properties that we were looking for is something that was thermally good, as I said, but also easy to clean. One of the challenges in typical calf pens is cleaning all the gates, whereas this, you've got a solid wall and you foam it and you can pressure wash it and disinfect it very, very quickly and very easily. So, it's serving many purposes. It's a great product.
And I see as well, so you've got a metre and a half, you said, as like the standard,
yeah.
But then between some of the pens, you've built it right up to the roof to really isolate airspace between pens of calves, which I can imagine if you do have pneumonia or cases of disease, that's great for isolating airspace, isolating calves.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got the calves in the pen, five of them pens, so you've got a good social group. But it is optional whether you have the walls going all the way up to the ceiling, or you have them sort of halfway up. But yes, what you've just said is really good. Where you've got calves coming in, you shouldn't be mixing them in the same airspace, really, and that actually does help to resolve that problem.
And then they're all on straw.
Yeah.
So nice deep straw, keep them nice and warm, and also cake feeders in the back with an auger running along the back. So is that?
Yeah, this actual building is designed to do trial work, because obviously the farm is a trial farm as well. So we have an auger fed system, so that our feed bins are on weigh cells, and we can feed two different feeds. So every other pen is fed by a different feed potentially, but yeah, it makes feeding very, very simple. So it's milk in the front and in a trough, wheat trough feed.
Yes.
And then a hopper feeder for the cake element of the diet.
And the trough feeding is a little bit different, is it not?
It is. It is different. But bear in mind, we're a calf rearing farm. It's not a dairy farm. And we've got big numbers. We've got 1,600 places here, going up to 2,000. So we're trying to get it as efficient as we possibly can.
Yep.
So there is a lot of skill in the first 2 weeks of the calf's life, particularly the first week when they come here, is to train them to drink in the troughs. And we've recently developed a potentially a different front so that we can actually individually feed them. And then once they've got used to it, and we've selected the calves that all drink more or less at the same rate into the different pens, it will make it easier. But yeah, we trough feed because it's very, very efficient and very quick once you've got the calves going. So first week, quite a lot of hassle. Second week, not very much hassle. And then the rest of the time until they're weaned at 6 weeks.
Flying.
Thank you. we can feed 160 calves in 7 minutes. We're not claiming that's the right thing to do, but it is possible to do.
I think it would be most calf brewers' dream, 160 calves in 7 minutes. So so you've got it set up, you know, with the augers you can measure, concentrate intake, you know, you've got your trough so that you're maximizing efficiency here. When you move from what is basically an adapted building, isn't it, the feed bunker, to, no, we've built this purpose-built calf shed, what did you see? How did that impact on productivity? You know, what did you expect to see? Oh, yeah, it would be better because, of course, it would be better. It's not an adapted building. But was there anything that struck you as...
Yeah, the what is actually we've been able to prove is we are actually getting 187 grams per day extra live weight gain in the new sheds compared to the conventional sheds.
Oh, magic.
So that is quite significant. We're also, the health is improved. We have less medication issues in the new sheds because we feel that we've got the ventilation working as well as we possibly can. In fact, we've moved the farm away from prophylactic treatment of calves coming in, and we've reduced the PCUs by 60% on the unit. So that's the amount of antibiotic active ingredient that's going into them. So we think it's coming right. You can always learn and do more, of course, but it's just coming together quite well. We're also the average daily live weight gain on the farm is 1.15. So again, with a mortality rate of just under 2%.
Wow. So we've been stood here, it's quite a cold day. I mean, it's bright, but it's cold. There's a little bit of coughing, but we've got, how many calves have we got here?
160.
160 in this, and there's very little coughing and very little, no snotty noses or gummy eyes or anything. If you do have cases of pneumonia, how are you treating that here? Is there a protocol that you're following or?
Yeah, absolutely. The standard treatment, as I've already said, the antibiotics are only administered if a calf has a temperature above 39.5. So the first thing, we go around twice a day, every day, a different person each time goes through every pen and looks for health checks, as we call them.
Yep.
So if the calves have a temperature between 39.2 and 39.5, they will get an anti-inflammatory, something like Metacam. For the first 2 weeks after entry, once 20% of the pen receives a second life treatment, the rest of the pen will receive Alamycin at the recommended dose rate. So if there is something in the pen and it's moving through, we will eventually treat the whole pen with an injectable.
Right.
But there's nothing going into the milk anymore. In terms of pneumonia, which of course is the biggest enemy, it's bad news. We do get it. We have it. The standard treatment lines to be given an order at the recommended dose rates. First line is Alamycin. The second line is Venflor plus Metacam. And the third, if we've still got a persistent offender, we move to Draxin.
Right. So it's that antibiotics are sort of your last line of defence. It's not a jump to. You know, it's that you know, the industry is stressing, it's not minimizing use of antibiotics to the detriment of livestock, but it's that responsible use of antibiotics.
Absolutely, and this has been worked out. Obviously, the protocol has been worked with us and the vets.
Yeah.
The vets that look after the farm here, Synergy Farm Health.
In terms of the basics that you feel that you've nailed with this, what are the key things that you think have led to this increase in daily live weight gain and the reduction of disease that you've seen on farm?
A lot of it, we believe, is the building,
yep.
but also inevitably the management. Yeah, we've got a good team here, but the buildings are doing the job. I mean, what a calf wants is draft-free, but ideally a relatively even temperature. They don't like big variations in temperature. They want a dry bed with no cold spots. And you can see these calves, you can see one at the back there now, they'll lie against the plastic walls.
Yeah.
You won't see that in a concrete building. You won't see calves lying against the wall.
They are very relaxed. They're not sort of huddled in one spot away from anywhere particular. They're all spread out, just very chill.
Obviously calves don't like too much competition. So typically we are giving them two square meters. AHDB recommends 1.5. We've actually gone to 2.
Oh, nice through the heart, Alan.
Yeah. and then again, that's from 45 kilos to 90 kilos. And you're saying 90 kilos to 142.4. We're actually giving them 3. So we're just giving them a little bit more. Our vets, again, would like us to give them even more space.
Right.
But obviously, we're a commercial farm, and you know, you have to weigh one against the other.
Why more space?
Less intense. They're not coughing over each other, or they're not, you know, just hoping that they're not spreading the diseases. At the end of the day, this is a recipe for disaster, really. We typically would be bringing in 160 calves every fortnight here, and they could come off 30 to 40 different farms.
Wow.
So you're bringing all of those problems and concentrating them in one place. So, you know, it's all about giving them the right environment, the right management and vigilance, and making them feed properly.
Right. And I suppose trying to limit moving them up and down groups a lot. And if you've got a sick one, like you say, with the ability to isolate them with the paneled in walls of these pods, actually that's probably a lot less strenuous on the calf than pull them out, put them in an isolation pen, then maybe reintroduce them. And it's a lot of it's a lot of change for a little calf, which is all that's obviously not going to help when trying to combat disease.
And we've tried very hard with the pods also to make them easy to manage, so that people don't have to climb over gates to treat them. So the gates we have different iterations of gates. These ones are pretty sophisticated, but you can go down to a typical temper IE gate. But the important thing is they're easy to open and close, so that people can get access to the pens. In our permanent buildings, we actually have wicket gates, so that the staff can go into the pens easily without clambering over gates, etc.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're trying to make everything as straightforward and as simple as possible, to make it easy for management.
So also looking at the HHU, Alan, you've got chains, and I've seen that in all the other sheds as well, with either a chain or a ball, or to exhibit natural behaviour, I suppose, and have a...
Yeah, we call it enrichment.
Yes.
So, yes, we do. We have a chain with it's a boy, actually, a fisherman boy, because we found that plastic things just get eaten very quickly, and these don't. So they play with them, and they do buffet them around and play with them. But the little sensor that you see, there's a little white box, basically, hanging on the chain.
Yeah.
That is actually a sensor, and because we're doing research work, that is recording temperature and humidity in all of the sheds. So we do know that we're getting a much more even temperature in the new sheds, the HHUs, than the old sheds. We keep a record of that. So every shed is monitored for that, and also we have water gauges on all the sheds, so we know what water consumption is going on.
Oh, amazing! So with the temperature and humidity, then, Have you seen a big difference between, because you've got the old shed, you've got these, and then also once they move on from here, they go to a really state-of-the-art weaning shed that you've also got on site. You know, are there big differences, you know, once they get to the weaning shed? Is it, you know, you're not worrying too much about drafts, or because they're a bit more robust, or how does it vary? What are you looking for?
It's difficult to say that because they're open fronted and they're open at the back, the actual temperature, it's difficult to say there's a huge difference, but we do know that particularly in the summer when it's really, really hot, if you come into these sheds, it is a much more pleasant atmosphere than in the conventional sheds. Likewise, in the winter, you're probably recording a degree, maybe a degree and a half difference between these sheds and the conventional old sheds. So there is a difference. But what we believe is really working for us is it's keeping it more even. We're not getting big variations between cold and hot. It is taking out the big variations. And I was skeptical, I have to say, at the beginning. Adam insisted that we were going to do this. And it has worked. I have to say that it has definitely worked. It obviously makes the materials a little bit more expensive, or quite a bit more expensive. But actually, we think the results are justified in what we're doing, particularly the health.
Yes, I suppose. And the growth. I mean, if you have no alternative, you have to adapt to sheds. That's what you have to do. But if you have the option, and if you can skirt the planning permission issue, these pods are, you know, your answer to how do you build that really purpose-built calf shed to maximise health, maximise efficiency and your productivity. I mean, why was a big fan not good enough? You know, I think it's fantastic. It's amazing to look at. And with, you know, the monopitch roof, and we're standing in the passageway between 80 on either side, but it's an open passageway, open concrete passageway.
Yes.
Why could you not have just had a pitched roof and a big fan down the middle?
Oh, that's a good question. Fans do work, but fans also go wrong. And that's my big anti for fans. You get these fans with socks. In fact, one of our old buildings here, we have one in.
Right.
Because we had problems in the shed, and it did help. There's no doubt about it. But it's just, why have a powered solution when you can have it for free, basically? We like simple things. I'm not anti-technology at all, because we've got lots of technology on this farm. But we want stuff that isn't going to go wrong. You know, the fan always goes wrong on the hottest day of the year when there's nobody on the farm.
And
you know, you're going to get problems. So that's it. I mean, the design is also something you said earlier, that you can, you know, it's modular. So you can buy one or you can buy 20, and they just build onto each other. So it's very simple for farmers to decide how many they need, and you know, the design, as I say, to have five to a pen, and you know, because cows don't calve all together, as we know, and therefore you've got the opportunity to keep them in different groups.
So this takes them to weaning, and then they move on to the next shed on site.
That's what we do. Yeah, you can take them up to about, you can actually take them up to about 140 kilos in here. If you want to, but we actually take them out at 6 weeks, and we move them to what we call a wean shed. That's purely because we're a calf specific rearing farm, and we actually want to change their diets at that stage.
Right.
So we move them, and we also feel that maybe these buildings for older calves are a little bit overkill in terms of, you know, that they don't need it.
Right. But if you're a little baby, this is where you want to be. Nice deep bedding, nice high sides to keep the draft out. But I mean, we're just standing here, and if you go round the corner, you're in a wind tunnel in the middle of the yard. But actually, here it's lovely.
Yeah, so, it's incredible the way it does affect it. We like to site them on farms with the backs facing the prevailing wind,
Right, okay.
So, you know, if you do get rain, the rain is protected from coming in the back by the overhang on the roof.
Yep.
And the airflow comes out the front.
And so, then an overhang on the front as well,
yeah,
for your feed.
That's for...
And rain and...
Yeah, that's for worker comfort, basically.
Keep your staff happy.
Keep your staff happy, that's right.
Well, thank you so much for showing me around today, Alan. I think that having seen the HHU as like the ultimate calf rearing shed to minimise disease and encourage the productivity and the efficiency, I understand that, you know, for most farmers, they're backed into a corner. They have to adapt to shed. You know, they've got to deal with what they have on farm. But if you were going to start from scratch and build the ultimate calf shed, this is certainly what you would come and look at.
Yeah, and we do encourage farmers to come here and see them. We have open days twice a year, but if farmers want to come individually, they've just got to ring Butelaar and they'll go through it and they can come and have a look.
Amazing.
Come and see what we're doing.
Yeah, which is clearly a fantastic job. Happy calves, very little coughing, no snotty noses or runny eyes, and clearly you're doing something very, very right.
Well, we hope so.
That's Alan King from Butelaar, who was showing me around the high health unit at their Long Lane development farm in Somerset. A reminder, you can find more information about AHDB's campaign to help tackle calf pneumonia on our website. It includes details of webinars taking place throughout November. I'm Daisy Green, Knowledge Exchange Manager for AHDB Dairy. Thanks for listening.
If you have any comments about this podcast or have ideas for future episodes, please email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk.